said, when I first met my wife, she just said, which kind of human being is this one? It's not my fault. For years, I had practiced this fullness of Christ. I'm not a beggar in life. I was so sure of it. I'm not a beggar in life. I'm not a beggar. You see, those are the things I carried into ministry. It's so difficult. Hey, one day, a woman sent a mail. When we first started on TV that time, on radio. So our website was up. So people, we sent feedbacks and all of that. He sent us a mail that, he has friends in Pakistan. No, he has some European friends who are interested in sponsoring evangelism in Africa. So I deleted the mail. That was my response. You have friends who want to sponsor evangelism in Africa. That's your problem. Delete. Thank you very much. I'm serious. That was my response. If your friends want to sponsor evangelism in Africa, how does that concern me? If they want to sponsor the work we are doing, they should write, don't tell me stories. Ask for our account number and send us money. As for me to now reply, say, we thank God, we'll be praying for them so that God will help them. Every day I sit on TV. Oh, praise God. This God, praise God. This work is a work of God. As you begin to sow into it, God will be giving you plenty in abundance. I say, Pastor, this is a lie. You know you want money. Why don't you just say, guys, I beg. We want that. They choke for here. Just send us something before your guys choke. And just be pretending. Say, you know, I was watching one, a new one yesterday. I would just say, hey, oh, boys, no be so. My own, eh? The begging mentality, God will win this from my brain long ago. I am a winner. You get my point? It's one of the first songs I learned. I'm a winner, not a loser. I learned it long ago. I'm the head and not the tail. That's what Christ has made me. If he can't pay for his own work of ministry, I won't become a beggar because of him. No, no. 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 One of the people that affected me, those days was Bishop Oyedepo. So he went abroad once. And the white man looked at him and said, I was so blessed by today's message, Brother David. What needs do you have in your ministry? He said, he looked at him and said, because I'll be African man. I can shake. He looked at him and said, our ministry has no needs. We are not a needing ministry, we're a giving ministry. We meet other people's needs. If you have needs, tell me. He was embarrassed. Because every black man will have come and say, oh, God bless you, sir. You see a white man, you say, second in command to God, or Koresa. Because the guy is white. Those are the reasons why I love Bishop Oyedepo. The point I'm making, is that when you are, listen, this thing eventually translates, your environment will reflect it. Are you getting my point? Yes, it will. It will respond to that strong spirit that's coming from inside you. That's what the Bible calls glory. Now, this is not pride. You know what really pride is? Let me quickly tell you what pride is. Pride is when a man starts ascribing to himself the glory that belongs to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me explain what I'm saying. I've seen it before. He said, don't mind. He said, those days we were the children of the men in the main house. I'm talking to, a highly educated person. That don't mind these politicians. These are the children of boys' quarters. And in my mind, I said, that's why they are the rulers. And you are here begging them for salary. That's pride. And the person thought I understood because, you know, we are colleagues. And I said, these politicians, those days. That is, we lived in the main house. Their fathers and their mothers lived in the small rooms around. And they were our servants. They didn't go to school. Now, they are the politicians, they are the legislators. That is original what? Pride. You think you're better than him because your father was educated and was rich and his own father was your driver, your father's driver. That is pride. You think you deserve more in life because of what your natural lineage dictates. That is pride. When you think you will succeed in life because of what you have, that is pride. When you think that you have achieved in life because of the effort you put inside, that is pride. That was what killed Nebuchadnezzar. He says, this is not Babylon the Great, which I built for the strength of my might and for the glory of my majesty. God said, mistake. Slap him. You get my point? And slap him one more time. I'm slapping three times, his brain turned upside down. It became crazy. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is pride. That is what pride is. But you know what pride is not? This is not what pride is. They asked David, why are you dancing so much? He said, I am the king, I know, but it's not my fault. They said, look at my king. My Lord just naked himself like this in front of all these small, small girls. He said, I know I'm the king. I'm used to it. But it's not my fault. It is God who, though I was small, in the eyes of everybody, he made me king in replacement for your father. It's because of that God I'm dancing. I know I'm still king. There's no doubt about it. He knew he was king. He's not saying, no, I'm just your humble servant. No, I'm the king. But I didn't become king because I struggled. I didn't become king because of my strength. I became king because God made me, even though I was small. So if a man brags, no matter the bragging, as long as the bragging, are you getting my point? Is just because of what God is, has made him in Christ Jesus and is ascribing that glory to God. It's not boasting. No. If it is boasting, it's good boasting. Because God made it very clear, it is okay to boast. It's what the person is boasting in that's the problem. Jeremiah 9, he said, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this. They can boast. They can boast. It's what they boast of. They are boasting, he said, let them boast of their knowledge of me. Let them boast that they know that I'm the one that exercises loving kindness. They say, are you a billionaire today? It's not that, no, we're just trying. No, yes, we are billionaires. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Our investments in Africa alone is valued at 3.5 billion naira. The one in Europe is 6 billion. I just say, no, you're a tough man. No, it's not like we are tough. It's the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, he closed this guy down. He opened the door for us. Closed the other people down. We are here by his grace. Yeah, we are billionaires. We are not denying it. We are just saying it's not because of our strength. It's because the Lord exercised loving kindness, justice, and righteousness towards us. That's what I'm talking about. All of these things is what is called what? Christ. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If you are in Christ Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Yes. If you have been redeemed, say amen.
Amen.
Now you understand. When you say you are in Christ, that's what it means. It's not that I go to church. I've been warning you. This church going thing, let it not give you any special confidence. God knows the mark register for them. Say, Lord, you know I've been sick for 2 weeks. I've gone to church now for 8 weeks, so you will heal me now. Calculate. 8 weeks attendance, how far? That's our reason. Christianity. We say, Lord, my friend who had a sickness last year, the doctors charged him 200,000. I am going to give you 500. And you go deliver fast. Because you are Jehovah, the Lord that heals for only 500,000. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. That is pride. If you think you can buy anything from God, that is pride. That is pride. That is pride. If you start thinking that because I went to church, no, that's pride. But if you realize that it's because he exercises loving kindness, mercy, that's what it means, justice and righteousness. For that reason, you plead for his mercy. And whatever he gives to you, you accept it as a manifestation of Christ. Because God's mercy is part of it. It's encapsulated in that word, Christ. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's why we make our boast in who? In Christ. We make our boast in Christ. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet, therefore. Now, I wrote a few things down which I just want us to use to make our boasts in Christ Jesus. I try to take them step by step. First of all, we want to make some confessions, all right, of what we are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's forgiveness of sin in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, let's give the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you.
Because in Christ Jesus,
my sins are forgiven.
I
don't want to preach on that now, but I believe you know a lot about it. Because sin, what is sin? I want to give one definition to it. Is that poison that destroys the ability to do well. That's what sin is. So when you talk about the forgiveness of sin, what you are saying is that the power, the sting of death has been removed. The ability of the devil to keep you down has been removed. That's the meaning of the word sin. Without the forgiveness of sin, Satan would be able to accuse before the presence of the Father. The forgiveness of sin is that which the Lord does so as to prevent, all right? That is what the Lord does so as to prevent Satan from having the accusing power in his presence. Once your sins are forgiven, then Satan's mouth is shut. So let's thank him. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because in Christ, I have forgiveness of sin. Because in Christ, I have forgiveness of sin. The Bible says that Ephesians chapter 2, he said, when we're dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. He said, by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, sin keeps us down, but the righteousness, which is the forgiveness, the product of forgiveness, has found only in Christ Jesus, all right, has removed us from the place where sin kept us and has allowed us to come up with Christ Jesus. And now we are seated with him in heavenly places. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's not what I want to say. I want to take first of all. We'll talk about that later. But something came to my mind as I was coming, and I said, let me talk briefly about the heritage of sin. It's very important what I want to say. Actually, something cooperated with bringing this thought to my mind this afternoon. I was discussing one woman in my office. I narrated one experience I had recently, all right? And she narrated something similar that happened in our home. And I realized something. I don't want to give details now. That, you know, one way by which, you know, when you heard of generational curses?
Yes.
If you heard of it, say amen. You've heard me preach before that they are real, you know, for those who they can affect. We don't wish them away, all right? What we do is that we apply the faith. In fact, later I'll talk, if you're on our meeting group, you get a mail shortly on the blood of Jesus. That's actually what we apply. Blood of Jesus after is not for your enemies. It's against those things. Things like generational curses. And this is how we apply it. The curses only have effect when we, especially as believers, because automatically when you give your life to Christ, you are redeemed. But, you know, Satan is a tempter. You give your life to Christ, he will still tempt you. He tempted Jesus himself. How much more you that gave your life to him? The person you gave your life to was tempted. What about you that gave your life? Do you care what I'm saying? So what he does is that, hey, if it is poverty that is the generational curse, what he does is that he starts tempting you so that you will do the works that produce poverty while trying to run away from poverty. I told you the wise saying I heard on one of my children's cartoons the other day. He said, I had a vision. The old sage was telling one of his students, I had a vision. Tyrone came back. The guy said, what? He didn't even hear further. He sent his messenger, go to the prison, double the guards, double the security, double. As he was running, the old man said, men often meet their destinies on the path they take to avoid them. That is, the path they choose to avoid their destiny is often the place where they meet it. It happens to people, therefore. Satan knows, and this is the generational curse. So as to break that generational curse, the man starts taking some actions. And those are the very actions Satan was hoping he would take so that he can have the accusing power to keep him in that bondage. So, he tempts people to sin. That's the summary. He does. That's what he does. He tempts people to walk in iniquity. And especially if somebody comes from an area where he have that, what they call those generational curses, he starts walking in that area so as to make sure this man doesn't break out from it. Not because he's not delivered. He's delivered if he's a believer. Now, he does whether you're a believer or not. But especially when he's a believer, he has to take your eyes away from Christ. Are you getting my point? And focus on your problems. And when you are focused on your problems, you walk into sin. And once you walk into sin, you are back in bondage. Therefore, now what I've told you, I don't have time to analyze it more than that. Therefore, it is vital that as believers, we in Christ, because we use, you know, he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. We cooperate with our words with that blood of the Lamb to overcome. So before we start talking about, hey, in Christ Jesus I'm healed, in Christ Jesus I'm an overcomer, in Christ Jesus, no, first, let us talk about righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's important that I walk above the temptations of the devil because of Christ Jesus. And let me say something to you. Charles Finney explained this, that the sin of Adam, let me summarize, you know, I can't remember the exact words he used now, but I remember the concept. said the sin of Adam made temptation more tempting for his descendants. Charles Finney never believed, that people are born and they have no choice but to sin. He says the sin inherited from Adam, he doesn't believe it. He said, look, Adam sinned, he died. If you sin, you will die. Do you understand? That's his own theory, all right? That's what he believed, and I have reasons to agree with him. But what he said, what's the effect of Adam's sin? He said he has made the temptation stronger for his descendants. Are you getting my point? And listen, without the power of Christ Jesus, this is what point I'm coming to, you will not be able to withstand the temptations of the devil. You won't be able to. You won't. That's the only reason it can keep people in bondage from one generation to another. And listen, if the curse of God is upon people, let me summarize like this. It's hard to fight that temptation. You know Rehoboam? Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Solomon sinned, introduced a powerful problem into the family. And Rehoboam, when they say make a decision, he made a decision that confirmed the prophecy that Ahijah or Abijah gave to Jeroboam. Why? Because Rehoboam is stupid? No, because Solomon sinned. Not because Rehoboam is stupid, but because Solomon did what? Sinned. Now these things, when David prayed a prayer with all the wisdom of Ahithophel, Absalom did not listen to him. Spiritual things are real, but in Christ Jesus, you are immune. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you are what? Immune. You are defended. You are protected. That's what I want to emphasize. You are. Therefore, when we are boasting about Christ, that's where we start our boast from. We boast that those evil spirits that want to lead us in the way of sin so that we will remain in bondage, they have no power over us. That force that causes people not to do anything, right or wrong, now is what the Bible calls spirit. So the spirit of iniquity has no power over you. That's what I'm saying. Let's boast, therefore, in Christ Jesus. Say, the spirit of iniquity
has no power over me
because I have been born of God. Listen to what he said in John. He said, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a reason why John had to explain this one to us. Because, let me read this other one that we had together, we'll use for our confessions. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John amplified it later and said that the seed of God dwells in everyone who believes in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let's declare. Say, in Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am above the temptations of the devil.
The
seed of God dwells in me.
The seed of God dwells in me.
What I'm saying is very important too. We must use it to remove every temptation. Look, listen, this is Nigeria. I've not been to other countries. Let's talk on natural plane, physically. Nigeria is one of the most corrupt nations on the earth, physically speaking. I'm not prophesying it to, I'm talking about what it used to be, what we are working against. And like one man of God taught me many years ago, that when you see a sin in the world, it usually affects the church that is there. They have to work specially against that. That's why you see sexual immorality was in the church in Corinth. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now, why did I say that? Is it when Nigerians go abroad, they behave? When they come home, they misbehave. It's a spirit. I don't have time to explain. It's a spirit. Those are the things we fight by the power of our confession. Let's declare it again. Say, the spirit of Christ dwells in me.
The spirit of Christ dwells in me.
Because I am in him.
I
have the seed of God in me.
Therefore,
I am above the sins of the society. You go to a place like United States where they divorce left. Even pastors still do it. And the pastors do it. Congregation, They go join. I saw people giving testimonies of how they received the strength to leave their husband. You say, Pastor Frank, you don't know what they are going through. I agree. I keep on saying, there are things that God does for you. And they will say, oh boy, see that you tell nobody. It's just between me and you. No, if you testify of it, I'll collect it back. What am I saying? There's no philosophy. You can't teach a doctrine of, not doctrine now. You can teach a doctrine, but I mean, there's no intellectual principle. You can't counsel people enough not to get into it if they're in that society. No. The only thing they can do is what we are doing now. This is what it means to apply the blood of Jesus. Look, this one, all my enemies, I've been warning you. If you shout it like that, the blood will hit you for head. Leave your enemies alone. Leave them alone. This is what you need the blood of Jesus for. That in this Nigeria, I will not be corrupt. Why? Because the seed of God dwells in me. Say that. It's important. You're Nigeria. I will not be corrupt. Because the seed of God dwells in me. It's very important. Say, the seed of God dwells in me. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me. I have been born of God. I have been born of God. I have been born of God. Therefore, I have the power to overcome temptation. Just like Jesus overcame temptation, I have the power to overcome temptation. Because I am in Him. Because I am in Christ. Because I am in Christ. The flesh does not have dominion over me. Say, the flesh does not have dominion over me. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me because I have believed in Jesus. And that same Spirit energizes me and I walk above sin. I walk above temptations. I walk above the iniquities of the society. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you the Lord thanks. It's very important. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank you. You know, he said, I like the way Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and frowning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and of a well-balanced mind and a disciplined and of discipline and self-control. I have the spirit of discipline. You must say it. I have the spirit of self-control. My flesh does not reign over me. Declare. Just use your own words. Use your own words. I have the spirit of self-discipline. I have the spirit of self-control. My flesh does not reign over me. But the spirit in me triumphs. You see, it's very important. When the Bible says that you are not born of the will of flesh, don't ascribe anything to your natural, where this is how it is, where we came from. I'm like this because if you find it out like that, walk against it. When people see me, say, you're a Yoruba man, that's why people are so respectful. You don't know why I'm respectful. I read in the scriptures, in case you do not know, when I was young, my father was a very nice and quiet person who was not contentious. So I made up my mind to be rough and loud and contentious. And I had my reasons. I felt like people treated him the way they shouldn't because of his nature. Sometimes I fight that until today, I'm telling you. When the policeman stopped me, he was surprised. He said, you stop. I said, why are you shouting on me? What's your problem? He said, my policeman said, stop. Can I see your ID card, please? He was looking at me like, what's going on with this guy? The man stopped, put out his ID card, showed it to me. I examined it, gave it back to me. I said, so what do you want? That's not part of the burdens I've been telling you about. That one, when I did it, I knew where it came from. Because I felt that when I was young, my father would have told the officer, officer, what is the problem? Now relax now. No, I told my nah, never. Fight me. I know, I'm telling you. But why am I respectful? Because I read somewhere in the scriptures one day
He said, thou shalt bow before the aged and bend your knees before the gray-headed. Ah, I said, it's the word of God. It is not a Yoruba man. That has nothing to do with it. The way, the things I teach my wife when it comes to relating with the husband, you understand? It's not based on, I never saw my mother do it. I never saw anybody. But no, I read the scriptures. I read it from the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you don't, because when we can say, from our place, people are like, you know me now, I'm from this area. Now so we be. You are telling yourself that flesh is reigning over you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, and if you continue that kind of confession, the problems of that place is your point. No, no, it's not as if God is vexed. So now you cause him. He said, you know me, I'm from Niger Delta now. You know, amen. With the married mother. You keep on saying it jokingly. I'll see you in 20 years' time. You go, don't marry three wives too. These are things that when you hear, you say, hey, wait, I was not born according to the will of flesh. I was born according to the will of God. And the seed of God dwells in me. Very important. That's what believers, that's how we are to live. That's what it means. You see, we don't just start with the Christ, say, oh, I'm triumphant, I can overcome, I can make money, I can be rich, I can be successful. Yes, that is true, that is very correct. But let's start with the thing the devil uses to keep us down. Because no matter the shout we shout in some areas, if the foundation is not there, Omo Oladi, are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we declare it one more time. Let's do it once more. You can repeat after me, you can use your own words. Say, the seed of God dwells in me. It doesn't matter where I come from naturally. I walk by the Spirit of Christ. I walk by the nature of God. I walk above the temptations of the devil. I walk above the temptations of life. Just like Jesus overcame the devil's temptations, so I overcome. Say, so I overcome. Because I have a strong spirit. Because I have a strong spirit. Because I have the spirit of boldness. Because I have the spirit of discipline. Because I have the spirit of self-control. Hey, we can't do too much teaching now, but you see, one of the things that make people fall for the temptation of the devil is that they don't believe the word of God. And listen. He said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall drink, what you shall eat, and wherewithal shall you be clothed. They say, hey, land is going for some. It's very, very cheap today. You need the money now. Listen, they have been saying land is cheap since I was small. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, since I was a baby, I've been hearing say, hey, this land here is cheap. And they will still say it in 20 years' time. So don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. You say, hey, I heard that the price of cement is going to go up, which is time to buy. When I came to Enugu, and price of cement was far cheaper than it is right now, there were not many houses being built. But today, now with the cost of cement on my street, construction day and night, like Bishop will say those days, children that have not been born, they will still build houses. So what's your problem? So don't worry about the price of cement. Let it go up. Just make sure that you please God so much that when you didn't have 1 naira, price of cement was 1,000. By the time it comes to 1 million, you have 10 billion. So what difference does it make whether it went up or it stayed down? So he said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Those who don't know God, those who are not in Christ, that's what they seek. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Let's give the Lord thanks again. I think we should stop here. Just give the Lord and say, Father, I thank you. Because I have the Spirit of Christ. I'm dwelling in him. I'm not moving in the natural realm. I'm walking with you in the realm of Christ. You know, we've talked about what Christ is. It's a realm. It's a realm of walk. It's a realm of existence. It's a realm from which we look at the things of this earth and we see them as God sees them. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have given me the mind of Christ. Oh, that mind, oh, it's very important. See, that mind of Christ, I perceive things as one dwelling in the realm of Christ. I see material things and I see the emptiness in them. I see the things that are of real substance in life.
I see love. I see kindness. I see self-control. I see the things that please God. They are the things that are more important to me. Father, I thank you because I'm walking with you in that realm called Christ. I'm walking in Christ. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Thank God. He said, Father, I thank you because I'm energized by your spirit. That same spirit that walked in Christ Jesus and prevented him from bowing to the devil. That same spirit that walked in Christ Jesus, that walked in him and did not allow him bow to the devil or allow him tempt the Lord his God or take the name of the Lord in vain or use his anointing for his personal gain. That same spirit is dwelling in me. That same spirit that's not vainglorious. That same spirit that's not covetous. That same spirit that is not afraid of tomorrow. That same spirit that's willing to lay down his life. That spirit of humility. That spirit of humility. That spirit that allowed him to pour himself as an offering for sin. That spirit is working in me. That spirit is working in me. It has made me an overcomer. An overcomer in righteousness, an overcomer walking against sin, an overcomer in holiness, an overcomer in self-control. That is what I have in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. It's been a beautiful day. You are good, you are kind, you are wonderful, you are lovely. You are our Father. We thank you because you're always thinking good thoughts for us. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed.
Amen.
Cherub brethren. I said cherub brethren. The word. If you believe that, say amen.